Here we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this July the 17th in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. It's a Wednesday, and we're going to be taking a look at readings for the following Sunday. On Monday, we looked at Mark 6, which was the feeding of the 5,000. We're now going to move to Ephesians chapter 2. Paul is writing to the congregation in Ephesus, and he's talking about the distinction between Jews and non-Jews. Verse 11. Remember then, physically you once were Gentiles, and those who call themselves circumcised, which is physical and done by human hands, called you uncircumcised. You see, the Jews were circumcised. That was part of the Abrahamic covenant. And Gentiles were considered the uncircumcised. And that's why physically they were Gentiles, uncircumcised. You were then without Christ, excluded from being citizens of Israel and strangers to the covenants that had the promise. You had no hope and were without God in the world. Now, this is talking about those prior to being baptized and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. They were the uncircumcised. And apart from the gift of the Holy Spirit and receiving faith, they did not know God and were without God in the world. Once you were far away, but now in Christ Jesus, the blood of Christ has brought you near. The Bible is filled with metaphors in order to help us to understand our new relationship with Jesus Christ. This one says that at one time you were far away, but now you have Christ Jesus, and you have been saved by the blood of Christ. And he's talking about the cross. And therefore, the uncircumcised Gentiles have become near. That is true for every person who believes in Jesus Christ. That when he died on the cross, he was paying for your sins. And by that sacrifice, you are therefore now considered as holy and just. Verse 14 of Ephesians 2. He is our peace. In his flesh, he has made the Jew and the non-Jew one by breaking down the wall of hostility that kept them apart. You see, when you were not part of Jesus, you thought you were saved by obedience to the law. Verse 15 says, and by putting away the law with its rules and regulations in order to make the Jews and the non-Jews in himself one new man, so making peace, and to make both in one body friends with God by his cross on which he killed the hostility. You see, there was great hostility between the Jews who were circumcised and the non-Jews. The Jews who were circumcised thought they were saved by obedience to the ceremonial laws. They thought they were better than the Gentiles. They looked down on the Gentiles because the Gentiles were not following the ceremonial laws. This was resulting in hostility between the ceremonial Jews and the uncircumcised Gentiles. But then Christ came, and by dying on the cross, he died for both the ceremonial Jews and the unceremonial Jews, because the ceremonies did not save anybody. What saved both was the faith in Jesus Christ. So he made both in one body friends with God by his cross, and he killed the hostility. And he came with the good news of peace to you who are far away. That's the Gentiles. And to those who were near, that was the circumcised Jews. Since by one Spirit, he enables both of us to come to the Father. Notice how both came to the Father by the Holy Spirit. That was the sacrament of holy baptism and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Both now became believers in Jesus Christ. And by believing in Jesus Christ, they had faith, and that is what saved them. That faith was trusting in the promises of Jesus Christ, not in their works, which they thought would move them from unbelief to faith. No. Therefore, verse 19, talking to the Ephesians, who are Gentiles, then you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with the holy people and members of his household. As a Christian, you set aside the rules of the law. You no longer needed to follow them. Why? Because you were saved through faith on account of the forgiveness of sins. That was a new relationship with God the Father. Now, what were you built on? You are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Christ Jesus himself is the cornerstone. That's talking about the Holy Christian Church. That's why you are saved. You are no longer saved by obedience to the law, because you always fall short of that accomplishment. Even when you obey the law, you do so with an obedience that is not rightly motivated. And therefore, whether circumcised Jew or uncircumcised Gentile, obedience to the law falls short. But now, in Christ Jesus, you have received faith. You trust the words of Jesus, and you are built on a foundation of the teachings of the prophets, that's the Old Testament, and the apostles, that's the gospel from the New Testament. And the gospel is the word of Christ, that you are saved by the cross of Christ. That's the new covenant, the new arrangement with God the Father. The covenant is the new promise that God gives you by granting you faith in trusting in the words of Christ. Verse 21, in him, that is in Jesus, the whole building is fitted together and grown to be a holy temple in the Lord. You see, that's the definition of the church. It is a holy temple based on the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we have taught earlier, Jesus first became part of the incarnation. That is, he became a human being, even though he is also God. And as a human being, he took upon himself the punishment that a human being could now take part in. And that was the cross of Christ. And in that cross, Jesus died for the sins of the world. In Jesus, you Ephesians are built up with the others to be God's home in the Spirit. That's the promise of Jesus Christ. That's why Christians are saved. That's the meaning of Ephesians 12, 11 to 22. The Old Testament reading for proper 11 this coming Sunday, July the 21st, is from Jeremiah 23, and it's verses 1 to 6. What does Jeremiah speak? He writes, "Woe to the shepherds who ruin and scatter the flock, of which I'm the shepherd, says the Lord." Jesus is the good shepherd. But there are those who are not truly the shepherds of the sheep. When the sheep are attacked, rather than protecting the sheep with their rods, those shepherds run away. These are false shepherds. They believe what the devil says, and therefore do not protect the sheep. They scatter the sheep of the good shepherd. So, verse 2 of Jeremiah 23. "And so the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds feeding my people, you have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not taken care of them. And now I'll take care of you by punishing you for the evil you have done, says the Lord." And the Lord does that by taking them into Babylonian captivity. He says, "I will gather what is left of my flock from all the countries where I've driven them, and I'll bring them back to their fields, and they will have lambs and be a large flock. Then I will appoint shepherds over them to feed them. They will no more be afraid or terrified, and none will be missing, says the Lord." What's the Lord talking about? He's going to bring them back to be a large flock called the Holy Christian Church, where they will worship and find the peace of God that has come about because of the death of Christ on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he became your substitute, substituting for your death in order that you might be forgiven your sins. And what does that mean? It means that your sins are forgiven in the sense that you are no longer held accountable for them. It is as if you are no longer sinning because the accountability was placed on Jesus, who died on the cross. Verse 5. "The days will come, says the Lord, when I will raise for David a righteous branch, who will rule as king and act wisely." Now, who is this righteous branch raised for David is, of course, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the one to whom the Old Testament is speaking again and again, that he will come. It's found all the way in the first book of the Bible, when the serpent is told that his head will be destroyed, which means the serpent and his power will die. He will have no power over death, in the sense that those who believe in Christ, what will happen to them? They will not die eternally. Death will be destroyed, and life will take its place. The verse continues, he will create fairness and righteousness in the land. The fairness will be between Jew and Gentile. Both who have received the gift of the forgiveness of sins will be saved by the death of Jesus Christ. Verse 6, when he comes, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live safely. This is the name that he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. That's the gift of Jesus Christ. He will become your righteousness. Yes, you will continue to sin, but that sin will be wiped away by the blood of the Christ. Jesus will save you, because he is your righteousness. The righteousness is a gift from God given to you, which means your sins are forgiven and heaven is your home. And so the Lord says, the days are coming when they will no more say, as the Lord lives, who brought Israel out of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up Israel's descendants and had them come from the northern country and all the countries where I had driven them, and they will live in their own country. That's the Holy Christian Church. We live in it, not just on Sunday mornings or whenever we have worship. We live in it forever, from the time of our baptism and salvation until the day of judgment, when Jesus returns on the clouds of the heavens and brings us into a relationship with God the Father and the Holy Spirit in heaven forever and ever. That's the promise to those who both were circumcised and were uncircumcised, because the promise comes to those who have faith in Jesus Christ. That faith, that trust is a gift from the Holy Spirit. And with that gift comes the word of salvation. Jesus is your righteousness. Jesus is your holiness. Jesus is your friend. And therefore, with Jesus, your sins are forgiven, and heaven becomes your home. It becomes your home forever from the time of your salvation, namely in receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Through the worship service, you hear the good news that God the Father is now reconciled to you, and therefore he will take you to be with him in your new country, the kingdom of heaven, and live there forever and ever, no longer saved by obedience to the law, but by faith in the promises of Jesus Christ. Join us tomorrow for more on the distinctions between law and gospel. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.